A little bit, yeah. I didn't know how well the book would do. I've had great reviews so far. The book's doing very well. I'm just pleased that it's been published and I can actually tell my story now.
And I mean, after all the record appearances and goals in an England shirt.
Yeah, obviously playing at England at the top level now for 16 years, I've had a long, great career. So I've just obviously decided to write the book and tell my story. I'm a footballer through and through. Love the game, passionate about the game, and I have many injuries over the past, couple of years. So just how I've dealt with them, and just trying to tell it how it is really in my book.
Why did you think now was a good time?
Well, obviously I'm coming to the end of my career now.
No, please don't.
I'm getting on a little bit now, so I just felt like the time was right. It was a good opportunity for me to get it out there, ahead of the Olympics. So pleased that it's come out.
Was it a difficult process to undergo?
Yes, it was actually, because it brought up a lot of, stuff in my past that I thought I'd put to bed. It's quite emotional. Ghost writing it with Lance Hardy. We did like a lot of hours, 10 to 12 hours talk time. And putting pen to paper, revising it, changing bits here and there. It was quite an emotional experience, but one that, I'm really pleased that it's come out. I think it's certainly all the feedback that I've got from young girls that have read the book, just think I'm an inspiration and want to try and achieve what I have in the game. So that's what I hope that the book would do.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that it was extremely honest as well, because I mean, the alcoholism was touched upon in the first chapter, for example, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly, and that's a major part of my life that that nobody really knew about until this book had been released. It was all quite secretive, or I just didn't come out in any real interviews and say that I had problems with alcohol in the past. But I just felt like the time was right now for that to come out and for me to tell the truth of my life, really.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed little parts of the book where you say that you'd practice skills with a golf ball. That kind of dedication was there at the early age, wasn't
Yeah, definitely. With a balloon, a golf ball, a tennis ball, any kind of ball really. I just love to have the ball at my feet and practice moves and turns in my front room or in the garden or with my brother. It just come very natural to me, and I worked on that skill set from a very young age, and to some extent still do that now with the tennis ball and stuff. So I don't think you can ever stop learning the game and working on your technique.
Yeah, I mean, reading it, I'm not giving away the entire book, but it was almost to me as if it was more the case of the parents that weren't accepting you in the sides as opposed to the other guys that you were playing with, the other ones in the team.
Yeah, the other boys that I was playing with, I was just one of the lads, really, one of them. It didn't matter about my gender, but it was, as you said, it was the parents of the other boys' teams that I was playing against. There was a little bit of jealousy that I was a girl on the team, and the best player on the pitch, and kind of making their sons look a bit silly with me dribbling around and scoring goal after goal. So that's where the prejudice kind of set in from, I don't know, the age of 8 or 9 when I decided to join a girls' team then.
American Part One had difficulties, injury after injury, season after season. That was pretty rough to say the least, wasn't it?
It was tough emotionally, being away from home too, not having, my family, my friends' support network. So it was quite a lonely, terrifying time, injury and obviously picking up the bottle then, and that was my coping mechanism back then. And not playing the game that I love and that I'm
Yeah.
passionate about. It was a big loss for me, so it was difficult times.
Back in the UK, Vic was true to his word, and the deal to come back to Arsenal was agreed on your terms. Start of the dream years, I suppose, winning everything, on top form, got into work, and you've got to be thinking, it's not work this.
Yeah, exactly. Playing for Arsenal isn't, for me, it's not a job, it's a passion. I've grown up supporting the club from as young as I can remember, and I'm, really good friends with Vic Akers, who currently is our general manager and the men's kit man. So he's still around in the club. He formed the club to what it is today. And it's just a passionate club, and they really support the women's football, which is great.
Then it was off to America again with the Breakers and Alex, who we obviously know very well from Arsenal. That must have helped.
Yeah, definitely. Alex is, very close to me. She knew about my past, and I probably wouldn't have gone out to America by myself again. So it was good that, she come along with me as my support network, and obviously she had me also. So it worked really well. She wanted to progress her footballing career. It just seemed like a good fit.
Can you tell me a bit about then deciding to come back? Obviously, the league folding in America or actually being put on hiatus, it must have been a bit of a no-brainer then if that was the case.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock really, because we had 3 good years in Boston, and there was talk that financially the league was struggling anyway. But there was all plans to go out there as of December last year, and then had an email come through saying that the league, that they decided to suspend it and then eventually fold it because financially they were struggling. So the next stop was back to England again and back to Arsenal. So it was just a natural progression to come back home.
And there was a wonderful picture of you, Alex and Vic, with the shirts and massive beans on the outside of your faces, outside the sign. I almost got the impression that you were smiling on the inside as well.
Yeah, it's good to be back home. Obviously, I love playing professionally in America, but it's no place like home, and being back at the club where I've got fond memories, and I'm back now close to friends and family who come and support. So, you know, it's good to be back home.
And then once again, that another little niggle injury that saw you out for another 3 months, and just like, am I ever going to get into the WSL and actually get a game or two?
Yeah, that's the thing. I decided, obviously, to sign for Arsenal and then got injured while away on England duty in the Cyprus Cup. I took a late challenge from behind playing against France and actually broke my leg, my fibula then. So that was kind of a scary time for me because with the Olympics being so close, I wasn't actually sure if I'd make the team. But I had like good rehab and strength program to see me through, and I was actually quite lucky that to make the Olympic team.
When you came on against Birmingham for that 10 minutes, you had a pretty special reaction then, didn't you?
Yeah, it was good. Good to get back on the pitch and put the Arsenal shirt back on again.
Were you not like sat on the bench saying, come on, Laura, get me on, come on?
Yeah, just a little bit. But fitness-wise, I probably couldn't have played any longer than, you know, the good 15 minutes that I had for having been out so long. But I finally got back to full fitness ahead of the Olympics, so all was good.
And while all of this was going on with the injury and getting back to match fitness for that, were you quietly working towards something in the Olympics, or were you just thinking along the lines of, if it happens, it happens?
Yeah, well, obviously my goal at the beginning of the year was to make the Olympic team, and it was touch and go because of my leg break. So when I got the phone call from Hope Powell saying that I was in, I was made up because, as I said, I wasn't 100% sure if I would make it, being that I hadn't played a lot of football going into the tournament. So, you know, in each game, I felt like I did better and better in the tournament.
And I read in the book as well, if I ever fell, then Hope would catch me. It's important to have somebody like that in your life, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Somebody that you can turn to when you're struggling, or they know you. And she's certainly been that, you know, pillar of strength for me if I needed that. So that's just how she is. That's the type of person that she is. Which a lot of people don't get to see that side, because she's the manager and she has to have, you know, the stern face and manage a certain way. But she is quite a nice, kind, caring person.
Yeah. The Olympic warm-up was at the Riverside as a doubleheader. It was a great idea. Personally, I thought I'd never see you play on the pitch at the Riverside. Thanks. That was basically not a question, but I just wanted to tell you.
Oh, no, it's a nice stadium, that.
Now the games are over. It's done wonders for the game in the UK, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely massive. You know, I think just receiving tweets and emails and seeing stuff in the papers and on the news, you know, the game, I think, has been taken to a whole new level. I think people have stood up now and will appreciate women's football probably more so in a different light. You know, playing in front of 75,000 at Wembley against Brazil and playing so well and beating them, I think that did wonders for the game.
Yeah.
So it's built a little bit of a legacy, which is what we wanted to do come these games.
Who else do you think in Team GB had a good tournament? North East girls, Jill and Steph did well. There was Ify and Kim fitted in well at the side. Then you've got, obviously, Ellen and people like that.
Yeah, well, I think it was a squad game, really. Obviously, Steph Houghton was our player of the tournament, scoring 3 goals from the left-back position, so she did extremely well. Our goalkeeper, she was a rock back there. And I think Kim Little and Efe Diake, who have come into what is pretty much made up of 16 players of the England squad to fit in and play so well, credit has to go to them also.
Canada v America, all round great game.
Yeah, it was a spectacle, really. It was a really good game.
Did you watch it as a neutral?
Yes, I did. Yeah, no. Obviously, we were a little bit disappointed of being knocked out by Canada. So you wanted the best team to go through on the day. And I thought the upset was on the cards for Canada to play so well. And you expect to score, if you score 3 goals, really, you expect to win the game. So it was devastating for them, really. And especially 30 seconds to go before it went to penalties. It was tough for them to take, I'm sure.
I think Lucy Ward said something like, it's good for the crowd, though it's not for the shins. Which is quite a memorable quote. Second round of the WSL, second half at least. How do you think that's going to span out?
Well, I hope to see more people at the games. It's more about now getting people through the gates and supporting not just international football, also club football. We're easily accessible as female athletes to come and watch us play. It's not, you know, £50-60 to get into games like you would at a men's game. It's reasonable and a family outing, so hopefully see more people in the stands.
In general then, what would be your advice to girls and women inspired by this and to want to find out more?
Well, they can go on a website at fawsl.com to go and, you know, if you're interested in playing, you can go and find a local team on there, or even find a club that's nearest to you, an Arsenal, an Everton, a Birmingham, Lincoln, wherever, and come and support the girls. And just to enjoy the game and play with a smile on your face, I think that's what it's all comes down to.
Kelly, that's great. Whatever happens in your career next, thanks for the dedication and everything you've done for the game.
All right, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.